Book of Leviticus, chapter 16. That's the Old Testament. Third book to the right. Leviticus 16. Today we're looking at the Day of Atonement, a day of sacrifice. The word of the Lord came to Moses and he was given some direction. And he said in verse 29, "This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native born or an alien living among you, because this day of atonement will be made for you to cleanse you." And in verse 34, it says, "This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites." And it was done, as the Lord commanded Moses. The 10th day of the 7th month of the Jewish calendar is Yom Kippur. Next month, it will be October the 8th, that they will celebrate this day. The word atonement means to cover over so as not to be seen. All right? It also carries the concept of propitiation. This is one of those technical theological Bible terms, and it means the wrath of God is appeased or satisfied, in this case as it relates to sin. And it says that when atonement is made, God's wrath is appeased and it is satisfied. So this is what this concept is all about. And over the next 4 weeks leading up to the 8th of October, we're going to be looking at this issue and this concept, and it's called the Day of Atonement. As we look at this, the first thing we look at is my need. Now, God established this for a reason. He established this day for a reason, and there was a need within the life of Israel. There's a need in our lives. We're sinners. How many of you lived a perfect life this week? Okay, therefore, this is the need. God tells us, even as believers, he gives us that verse in 1 John. He says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." The reality is simply this, that this is what God does for us. He established this day for a reason. We need cleansing. We need to have our sins covered over. The people were to remember their sin as individuals and also their sin as a nation. This was going to be a special day of remembrance. We have special days of remembrance in many ways in our society. We observed one this last week, 9/11. We observe other days of remembrance, the 4th of July. We remember the days of our independence in the fight, the battle that took place. We remember 9/11 and the lives that were lost in a tragic terrorist attack. This was a day of remembrance for Israel. And they were to remember and to think on something. Now, God established this, and you need to understand, this was not a day of condemnation for being terrible, evil people. Now, if you think of it, we are. We are terrible, evil people. We are sinful people. We are people in need of something that is greater and beyond us. But it was a day of remembering that they were sinners before a righteous, holy God. And that's something that we really need to think about it. And I'm so glad that, you know, even as we sang, there was that remembrance and reality of how even songs touch our hearts and focus on needs and issues that we face and things that we struggle with. And this was to be a special day of remembering that we were sinners. And it was also a day of remembering not as much that we are sinners, but also remembering who God is. Because he is the one who can forgive our sin and cleanse us Israel was looking not at a day of despair. They were not looking at a day of sorrow and mourning with no hope. They were remembering and looking, yes, I'm a sinner. This is a holy God that I am standing before. This is a holy God who calls me to this, but he is also the holy God who can forgive me. You know, God calls us to remember that we are sinners. He calls us to remember that we have a sinful nature. He calls us to remember that within ourselves we are helpless to fix this issue. And he calls us to remember that we need forgiveness. And he calls us to remember that we need to repent of our sin. You see, there was a sin problem, and the sin had to be atoned for. Something had to be done about this sin. The sin of each individual within Israel, the sin of them as a nation, had to be covered. God's wrath somehow had to be appeased and satisfied. God's wrath had to be turned away. And this was a special time for the people of God to seek collectively, not as individuals, but also as a nation. It was a time for them to seek God and to find him in a very special way. Now, it's interesting, in the life of a lot of churches, we have special services, revivals, we often call them, or deeper life services and things like this in a variety of different contexts. And these are special times and occasions that often we look and we focus specifically at certain issues. And specifically for the fact that God calls us to himself. This was the special day for Israel. This was that special day in which God was going to meet them in a unique way, and in order to do that, repentance must take place. You know, so often, you know, we get really creative, you know, in trying to deal with our sin issue. First of all, we try and rename it. You know, we'll call it a disease, or we'll call it an affliction. That's a good Southern term. We might call it a mistake, an oops, a slip. I didn't mean to. You know, we do a lot of different things. You know, we try to hide our sin ourselves, you know, but the reality is we can't ignore it. But the reality is today it's not a new attitude, but it's a resurging attitude that's been since the creation of time, and it's simply this: I'm a sinner. So what? And they almost wear it like a badge of honor. I'm a sinner. And they don't care. And people today even within the church, they will say, well, you know, this is who I am. God loves me the way I am. No, he doesn't. We come to a place where we have to deal with this issue and we have to do something about our sin. We're either going to cover it and allow God to deal with it and take it away. We try and hide it ourselves, or we just live with it and be proud about it. You know, the Day of Atonement, even though we don't celebrate it as Yom Kippur like, you know, the Jewish nation does and Jewish people do, it is a day that has special meaning for us as well. It is a reminder to us, like Israel, that we are in need of atonement, the sin issue must be dealt with in our life if we are going to move on and walk with God. Our sin has to be covered, God has to be satisfied, and God still calls us to this issue of repentance. And often that's the big issue, the repenting part. Don't hide behind, I'm a sinner, so what? Don't hide behind the fact that God made me this way. Don't hide behind the fact that it's a problem that's been in my life for years and I can't get rid of it. God calls us still today to repent, to turn. To turn away from our sin and turn to Him. This is my need. The second thing we look at is the issue of the offering that is required. Now, God laid out in here specifically that there was to be offerings, sacrifices made. The priest, Aaron, was to make two sacrifices. The first was for himself and for his household, because before he came to God, there needed to be that repentance in his own life and for his own family. So therefore, he had to come and he made an offering and a sacrifice for himself and for his family. After that was completed, he then came back into the holy place a second time and offered a sacrifice for the nation. So there were two sacrifices that were offered. Now, we need to understand that these sacrifices were sin offerings. These weren't praise offerings. These weren't wave offerings. They weren't other types of offerings that were given in the Old Testament. This was specifically a sin offering. A specific offering for a specific need, and these were blood sacrifices. This wasn't the sacrifice of grain. This wasn't a sacrifice of the first fruits of the harvest. This was specifically something that, well, it represented something very important. You see, the need demanded a sacrifice. The law said two things. First, that we were sinners. Secondly, that the penalty for sin is death. Romans tells us this very clearly. Penalty of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. Therefore, this annual sacrifice had to be made a blood offering, a blood sacrifice for the people. And as we go into this study, we're going to get into this in more detail and deal with this later. But here was the reality. A blood sacrifice had to be made because blood had to be shed because of what? Sin. The law demanded death to take place. So Aaron comes and he offers the priest's offering. Aaron comes, he offers a young bull for his sin as an individual and for the sin of his family. The life of that animal is taken, its blood is poured out upon the altar. Some of it is collected and it is given as a sacrifice. Then he turns, and after that sacrifice has been made, he goes and he brings into the holy place there a goat that is to be offered for the sin of the nation. He takes that blood that is collected from those animal that was slain. He goes into the Holy of Holies and he sprinkles that blood on the mercy seat, on the Ark of the Covenant. He goes out. He comes back in with the blood of that goat that symbolizes the sacrifice for the nation, and he does the same thing again. He offers that blood sacrifice to atone for the sin of the people, to cover their sin, and to appease the wrath of a holy God. Now, as we have sung this morning, and I appreciate this song selection was done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It washes me white as snow. You see, Jesus Christ, our high priest, offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. This is the really neat thing here. Jesus did not have to come in and offer a sacrifice for himself because Scripture tells us he was without sin. He was holy. But he did this to cover our sin. He offered his life and his blood to satisfy and appease the wrath of God. He did this one time, once for all, as the writer of Hebrews tells us. You see, we read here in this passage in Leviticus, and he tells us this is to be a yearly thing to remember because Israel's like us. We're sinful people. And no matter what our intentions, no matter how good we try to be, no matter how righteous we try to live, no matter how holy we think ourselves and want to be, we fall into sin. So we are repeatedly reminded that we are to come and to seek God's grace, to seek atonement for our sin, but it was pointing to something that was yet to come, a cross. Hebrews 10:4 says that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin, but only that of Jesus. Life is in the blood, and life was poured out to pay the penalty of sin, to offer atonement. You know, this is a reality for me on a fairly regular basis. I'm a blood donor, and I give repeatedly. And I came across this story, and there was this little girl that was dying and struggling with cancer. They had gone through chemo treatments. They had even gone in and literally did the bone marrow harvesting and basically killed off all her bone marrow to fight off so that she could get a fresh start. But they needed a matching blood type. And unfortunately, mom and dad didn't quite match up, but her brother did. So the doctors approached him and said, look, we needed some of your blood to give to your sister in order for her to be able to live. And he thought about it for a little bit. I mean, this wasn't an immediate, okay, fine. But he really thought on it and considered this. And after a while, he said, okay, I'll do it. So you know, they led him into the room. They laid him down on the table. They got the needle into his arm. And he was just so nervous. He was just trembling. And the nurse asked, are you cold or are you hurting? He goes, no, he looked over to the doctor and he goes, when am I going to die? And the doctor said, you're not going to die. We're not taking all of your blood. We just need some of it. He was willing to give his life. Jesus' blood cleansed us from sin. It's like that new start. It's like that cleansing of the bone marrow. The sin nature is taken away because Jesus' blood is applied to our lives. The Day of Atonement is a reminder that Christ died for us. He shed his blood for us. It's like what we did just a couple weeks ago as we celebrated communion. We remembered what Christ did for us. We held that cup in our hands knowing it represented the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, that we might have life. His blood atoned for our sin. It covered it over. It washed it away. Nothing but Jesus' blood. So we come to this point of understanding as we conclude that, quite honestly, each of us are in need of atonement. No matter who we are, no matter how good we are, no matter how well we've lived our lives or anything like that, we are in need of atonement. I am a sinner in need of cleansing and forgiveness. It comes down to the issue of repentance. It's interesting. I was watching a football game last night, and one of the players had, you know, that kinetic tape on both elbows here. And he had written on one elbow, "Keep faith." It is our faith in Christ, of what he has done for us, that offers us the application of his blood into our lives, that we can be free from our sin. Now, I would say here this morning, most of us have done that. And that's great. But maybe you haven't. But then on the other hand, if we have done that, as one revivalist used to say, are we keeping current accounts with God? Do we need cleansing for today? Only Jesus' blood can give us that. And we, by faith, believe. Will you make that application in your heart this morning? By faith, believe. His blood can cleanse me. His blood can make me whole. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word and for its application. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that you give us, that we can apply to our lives. And Father, I pray here this morning that for each of us, that we might know Christ as our Savior. And for that one who maybe has not made that decision, I ask, oh God, you would work in their heart and cause them to see their need, that they're sinners. And that the only way that they can have life is through you. But Father, I pray for the rest of us as well, because daily we need your cleansing. And I ask, oh God, that we might come with broken, repentant hearts to seek your face. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.